Many years ago, before I came here, I worked for the Episcopal Diocese of Massachusetts as the Director of Stewardship and Resource Development. And prior to that, I worked for the Mass Conference of the United Church of Christ as the Director of Planned Giving. In those positions, I would go out to congregations and to parishes, and I would preach on stewardship. It was an interesting experience for me to have at the beginning of my ministry. Congregations were generally receptive and friendly. They'd stay for dialogue after my preaching. It was an affirming experience. It didn't always go smoothly, though. There was a little bit of pushback. I remember going to the Trinity Episcopal Church in Concord, Massachusetts, and one man wrote me a 2.5-page letter after I appeared in their pulpit. And he said he agreed with what I said about stewardship, and he liked my delivery, but he would have preferred I had not spoken so much about Jesus. I thought that was an interesting comment, and I followed up with the rector of the parish, who told me not to worry because he heard that all the time. Preaching as a guest in a congregation is an interesting experience because you don't know what the people there are like. You don't know what kind of messages they're accustomed to hearing. You don't know who is in the pews. I remember going to one church and discovering about half an hour before the service that I had been provided with the wrong text for the sermon. So I had to come up with a new message on the fly. And I was really happy, I did not know at the time, that there were 3 retired priests in the congregation, in addition to the officiant. And fortunately, because of the Holy Spirit, I seem to have acquitted myself well. Going into a new church, not knowing what it's like, takes some guts, and it takes some trust. And I imagine that this is what Jesus must have felt when he walked into that synagogue in Capernaum on that Saturday. Believe it or not, there was a time when people did not know Jesus. They did not know what he was going to say. They did not know how he was going to say. Jesus, like the rest of us, had to get a start somewhere. Unlike some of us, Jesus went in, committed himself fully, and pulled no punches. And that seemed to elicit a response from the congregation. Most of it seemed to be good. They saw him as a man who preached with authority. But there was this character who was possessed of a spirit, who sprung up and called him out as the Holy One of God, wanting to know what he was doing there. Now, this vignette is interesting, and it's very easy for a preacher to go down all sorts of dead ends. We're not going to have a sermon about demons or exorcisms. We're not going to talk about whether or not these things are real or not. It doesn't matter. Mark and the people of his day believed that they were, and that's what matters to us as we read this text. It's interesting that it's the one who is deemed to be possessed of a spirit who might be seen as being evil is the one who recognizes Jesus. It's not the other people in the congregation. All too often, we church people and before us the synagogue people don't see what we should see. We're blinded to what really matters. But that day, Jesus responded in an interesting manner. He called out the spirit. He responded to the problem. He didn't mollycoddle. He didn't hide. He didn't avoid. He confronted it head on. But the way he did it leaves a room for imagination. And I have another story from my experience as a preacher that might shed some light on this. From a long time ago, before I came here. Early on in the period when I was thinking about becoming a minister, I was invited to share a message from the pulpit at Old South Church in Boston, where I worshiped. And it was really exciting to have this opportunity. Here was the place I prayed every Sunday, big downtown church, and I was going to have the pulpit. I was flattered that the minister had confidence in me, and I looked forward to sharing my words with the congregation. I practiced before that Sunday. I had my printed texts. There was a time when I preached from manuscripts. And off I went into the pulpit. I started preaching. I don't remember that much about it. What I remember is that at some point during my sermon, a man I did not recognize, sitting at the front of the sanctuary, raised his hand and said, "Excuse me. Excuse me." He did not call me the Holy One of God. He wanted to know why there were no tissues at the front desk in the narthex. I don't know what possessed me at that moment, but I could see this man wouldn't be ignored, shouldn't be shunted aside. I wasn't in the mood to scold anybody. So I engaged him in dialogue. I told him that I'm sorry that we didn't have any tissues up front. Usually we did. And if he came in the future, there would be tissues for him. And he still was agitated. And I kept having a dialogue with him. And then Jim Crawford, the senior minister, reached into the pocket of his jacket and pulled out a handkerchief, which he gave to me to give to the man at the front of the sanctuary. Problem gone. But I noted then that the moment had passed, that the opportunity to preach the rest of my message was gone. And so we continued with the service. I remember afterwards, the associate minister said to me, "You did great. You don't need to go to divinity school." And I'd always thought about the logistics of preaching in that moment. But in reading this passage, I had a chance to reflect on some of the deeper elements of what was going on there, of how everybody at the church that day was caring for this man and addressing the problem and not saying that he was bad or he needed to drive him out or get rid of him. It turned out that this man wasn't possessed by demons, but that he was on a course of medications. And one of his caregivers had prescribed the wrong thing. And so the meds began to interact with one another. We had evidence of this because he had pulled his Jeep up onto the sidewalk in front of the church in Copley Square. And after people got him the care he needed, he was mortified. But all anybody in the church wanted to do was take care of him. And in that moment, on that Sunday, I feel that not only I, but the entire congregation earned its authority. They could see that what we were preaching matched what we did. That's what the people in the synagogue saw on that Saturday when Jesus came to preach. They saw he taught with authority, unlike the scribes. Jesus did not need credentials. He did not need to go to a divinity school. He did not need a diploma or a certificate or the approval of some ordaining body to teach. What he said carried weight with the people who heard it. And it wasn't an easy word. We know Jesus challenges people and he pushes them and he prods. But people could see that what he said was true. The authority of preachers and of the church needs to be earned over and over again. It isn't something that we can pass on from one generation to the next. When we look at the state of the church today, I know older members in particular wonder, what's going on? Why don't people pay attention to us anymore? It was better when I was a kid. Everybody went to church. Everybody listened to the ministers, the priests. But the truth is, the church has not done a very good job in recent years. The church has squandered its authority. The Catholic Church has had its clergy abuse scandals. We've recently seen evangelicals who have gone out and made commitments for political positions, talking about the president getting a mulligan for bad behavior. And before we in the mainline church, tut tut, we should remember that it was our churches that gave the president a pass 20 years ago when he was doing things that were inappropriate. The church needs to be honest with itself and with the people it tends to. It needs to earn its authority by preaching the word of God and living it out, even when it's not comfortable. I don't know how we would react if the man who is at Old South came in here today. I know we've had a few moments during worship when people have had health issues, and people have responded by caring for them. But how we would deal with the disruption is an interesting question. My hope would be that we would not miss a beat, that we would care for that person and embrace them and make them feel welcome. And in doing that, we would show that we had authority too, that we were being true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So think about it. We have to earn it. We have to earn it every day through everything we say and everything we do. My hope and my prayer is that we will have the grace and the faith and the courage to be followers of Jesus Christ.